In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a very important question today. I'm asking you to answer a question from demons, because it was the question of demons. They refer to themselves as I, because they were a legion of demons in one man. But they ask a question that is not a rhetorical question. It's a very important question. Every time I hear this question, I answer it, and every time I answer it, I come up wanting, but maybe getting a little better. Here is the question, and we'll talk about the story and how important this question is. So he comes, our Lord comes to the Gadarenes, a Gentile area, but there were Jews there too. And he sees out of the city a man who has demons in him. And so when they saw Jesus, they cried out to him and they asked this question. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Of course, the context of their question was that they didn't want to be thrown out of the man and into the deep. They wanted to have some alternative rather than being destroyed before the time, because eventually all the demons will be destroyed. Not destroyed in terms of being winked out of existence, but they'll be in hell where they belong. So they're asking to save their skin, shall we say. And we know what happened. The Lord said, you can go out into the pigs. And the pigs were so overwhelmed with the evil presence of the demons that they ran down a cliff and they were drowned, and the demons went to the deep anyway. That shows how truly malevolent demons are. They do exist, and they hate us. They hate us because we're made in the image and after the likeness of God, and we have the potential to be in complete communion with God, complete union with Him, knowledge of Him, and to be in His presence and to be unafraid and to be glad. They don't have that capability. They lost it with their sin. So they hate us, and they want to hurt us any way they can. And the Lord restrains them, because demons are way stronger than we are. This is not to give you any kind of nightmares. God protects you, and your guardian angel protects you. But demons are way stronger than us, but God protects. But He didn't protect the pigs, and so the pigs were overwhelmed, and they all died. And the demons went to where they wished not to go. Now, when the townspeople found out about it, and they went out to their masters and told them what had happened, and their masters came and they were afraid. They were so afraid that they asked Jesus to leave. Now, there's the fear of God. This is not really the fear of God they had. The fear of God is when a man feels his own sins and God's righteousness and desires to be with God and doesn't want to in any way displease Him. That's the fear of God. This is where they were afraid because they didn't want their sins to be further exposed. They wanted to be left alone so that they could continue with their commerce, get some more pigs, and life would just be dandy. So they asked Him to leave, and He did. And life went on for them. And the light had been with them, and then it was gone. And they didn't even know. And it was their loss. Now, I want to tell you one more thing about the story, very important part. The man, after he was healed, was no longer crazy, was no longer cutting himself with stones and breaking the chains that had been put on him, was no longer insane because of the demons. So when the townspeople came, they saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. Jesus makes a man able to be in his right mind. Now, if any one of us thinks that we're completely in our right mind, that's a sign that we're deluded, because this is a process in life of coming into your right mind. Now, this man was in his right mind as far as that he was no longer acting like a demoniac, but he still had things to do too to change in his life. Because there would still be passions in his life. And passions are basically a way of having you be not in your right mind, having you be crazy, to do things that are not in keeping with the truth. So now let's talk about this question. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the God Most High? This is a question that every Christian should be answering every day, and you should answer it. So what do you have to do with Jesus? Well, I suppose you say you believe in him. Okay. You might even go to church. You might even go to church every Sunday. You might even go to church some Saturdays. But what do you really have to do with Jesus? Everything. Everything should be about Jesus. I think that the epistle answers it, this question. Now, the epistle is very complicated. St. Paul is incredibly complicated. And I'll be honest with you, really only the last sentence of this epistle do I really understand. Because the rest of it's about the law, and it's confusing. And even though I read commentaries, I'll be honest with you, I don't completely understand it. But St. Paul has this marvelous way about him of saying things that are really hard to understand, and then all of a sudden, wham, he hits you with something that's absolutely true and incredibly profound and beautiful and touches your heart. So he does here in his epistle to the Galatians. I guess after doing all of his scholarly stuff, he takes off his spectacles and he looks us in the eye and he says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's the answer. What have you to do with Jesus Christ? You should consider yourself crucified with Christ. And therefore, you are no longer living, because when you get crucified, you die. And you are not living, but Christ is living within you. And by the way, crucifixion is a reference to baptism. So the passing through death by baptism and the reemergence alive as a new creature, but no longer one who lives alone for oneself, but lives with Christ within him. So what do you have to do with Jesus Christ? Everything. Everything you do, say, think, believe, should have to do with Jesus Christ. And we must test ourselves about this. Now, I was recently talking with Father Nicholas, and he thinks, and I agree with him, that I should try to sometimes not be theoretical with you, be more practical with you. But really, you must be motivated by the truth that you are nothing without Jesus Christ. You might think that's theoretical. I think that's incredibly practical. You live only by Jesus Christ, which means that everything you do should be evaluated as to Jesus Christ. And you should feel that that part of you which is sin is dead, and that what lives is Jesus Christ within you. Because he died for you. He made you capable of eternal life. He made you capable of being perfected. And that should never be off your mind. So, when the question comes up, what do you have to do with Jesus Christ? And it should come up a dozen times today. Actually, it should come up a dozen times before you leave this temple today. At least. Then you should answer that you are crucified with Christ, that you no longer live, but Christ lives within you. This is a way of having a way of life. It's not really a way of thinking, because if you have to think it, it's already too late. It should be a way of living, the way that you approach life, the priorities that you have. Now, you can check a little bit to see whether or not you are crucified with Christ. What interests you? What takes up your time? Lots of work, lots of play. What do you read? if you're not reading the scriptures, but reading something else, then you're not answering this question correctly. Because you should be reading the scriptures. I know they're hard. They're difficult, especially if you haven't read them much. Well, you're not going to understand them any better by not reading them. So you might as well start today. Start reading them. I'm trying to help you a little bit by giving you little one-minute videos about the scripture, sort of whet your appetite. I'm doing them every day. I'm doing more than one every day. And sending you the homilies on the sermons and things like that. Do you listen to them? Do you read spiritual things? Or do you read fluff? I'll give you a hint. Anything on a magazine rack as you're checking out, worthless. Totally worthless. In fact, worse than worthless. Corrosive to your soul. You need to be reading the gospel. Hopefully the Psalter. Maybe other books in the scriptures. Maybe things from the Holy Fathers. You need to have a rule of prayer. If you don't have a rule of prayer, or if you're poor at it, talk to me. Everybody's different. Everybody's at a different stage. But you have to really struggle to answer this question correctly. What do you have to do with Jesus Christ? What is it that proves you're a Christian? When people hurt you, do you hurt them back? That doesn't prove you're a Christian. When you're with people that cuss, do you cuss? That doesn't prove you're a Christian. Do you love your brother? Do you love your enemy? If you don't love your enemy or your brother, you're definitely not proving you're a Christian. We need to prove that we're a Christian. We need to answer this question every day. So as I told you, every time I read this, this is what jumps out at me. That the question of a demon or demons is one we should answer. We better answer it correctly. We better answer it that Christ is everything to us. That we don't live, rather Christ lives in us. Now, if you got sins and everything, it's no big deal. The big deal is if you don't really do much about your sins. Now, that's a big deal. If you don't repent. If you got weaknesses, God will help you with your weaknesses. So don't evaluate based upon your sins, based upon your effort. Are you struggling against your sins? Are you coming to me and maybe we work out a plan? I got lots of plans. And, you know, there's a lot of them because not too many people are using them, so I've got them all stacked up. There are plenty of plans for you to fight your sins. That'll prove that you're answering this question correctly. And as far as whether, when you are successful against your sins, whether it be some long-standing sin or some attitude or whatever, God will help you with it in His time. Maybe, probably not immediately. Hopefully not immediately, because if you get things immediately, then you don't value them. So brothers and sisters, I beg you, answer this question. And I also ask you another thing. The last thing I'll ask you today, unless I fib and come up with something else. And that is, please, read the scriptures and answer all the questions. That's how you start to be benefited in soul. Answer every question. If there's a question, it's addressing you. No matter who's asking it. May God help you to have Christ living within you.